Chapter 28. Enlightenment. Radomir stepped back through the darkness, his fingers dripping red with blood, and the final warp eye clutched, still warm, in the palm of his hand. The pit of his stomach was twisting in excitement and anticipation, as it always did when he was on the verge of another great act of worship. Soon, very soon, he would set in motion the events that would consign this planet to the warp and offer up another grand sacrifice to his masters. And then, the Imperium would barely notice the loss of Gallimo Prime. In an empire of a million worlds, the Administratum would shuffle some papers, and before long, the hole in space would be nothing but a dusty footnote in what passed for their record-keeping. Billions of souls swallowed into an eternity of torture, and the ailing behemoth of which they had been part of wouldn't so much as blink. Vorlisi, though. Vorlisi was different. A far more prominent world, made all the more so by its narrow rescue from the fleet of the Despoiler, especially since it had taken the intervention of the accursed Gilliman to do so. The psychological blow of its loss would be exponentially larger than that of Gallimo Prime. And, if Radomir's suspicions were borne out, Vorlisi's absorption into the warp would greatly disrupt one of the major warp routes to Terra on which it sat, and from which it acquired its prominence. After Vorlisi, well, there were many possibilities, should the gods grant that he survive. Radomir was a weapon of chaos, and he would not stop striking blows for it until his life was exhausted, and he took his final reward from the ruinous powers. Perhaps he could further isolate the throne world, or disrupt another crucial point elsewhere in the galaxy. The Great Rift and its siblings meant that some narrow corridors of real space clung only tenuously to existence, bordered on all sides by the howling warp. A cut in reality, in just the right place. "Who's there?" a muffled voice shouted, and the beam of illuminator snapped on and swung towards him through the smog.
"Radomir,"
he called, making sure he could be heard, despite the impediment of his respirator. The guards must have recognized his voice, because they lowered their weapon and the illuminator attached to it. As Radomir approached and the obstruction of the smog diminished, he made out the features of Feyni. She was a local ganger and handled her shotgun as though she'd been born with it in her hands. But the fingers of those hands were tipped with claws that marked her out as a mutant. She'd fled from her gang before she could be found out and ended up falling in with the Children of the Serpent, in the interests of survival, as much as anything else. Radomir clapped her on the shoulder as he walked past. A certain camaraderie had been a crucial part of the unseen glue that held the children together so far, and he needed that to continue. The children would have to guard and oversee the ritual once he'd set it into motion, while he made his escape off-world. If they trusted him, they would protect the very spell that would end up killing them all, until it was too late. If they didn't trust him, if, for example, he'd put their backs up by being overly aloof, then there was always the risk that the canker of suspicion would take hold. Nothing angered a betrayer so much as believing themselves to be betrayed in turn. And the followers of Chaos knew best of anyone that no plan was foolproof, and there was no scheme that could not be undone by chance events. He was a few paces past Feyni when he felt it. The air seemed to thrum with a sudden tension. It wasn't a physical thing. Most of the fools around him wouldn't have noticed a change. It was something deeper. The faintest echo of the beginning of a song that called to his blood and his bones. There was a great and powerful potentiality lurking around him, waiting to be seized and directed. The product of 8×8×8 sigils, carved into Vorlisi's surface by the Children of the Serpent, painstakingly following the deliberately piecemeal directions he'd given Solomon Eichner. The last line had been drawn, and the great glyph was ready.
"Everyone stand where you are,"
he shouted into the night air, cursing the rebreather that muffled his voice. He didn't fancy his chances of not coughing his lungs up without it, though.
"The work has been completed. I can begin the rite."
An excited murmur grew from the various figures half hidden in the murk around him, but they obeyed his instruction. Just as well. The last thing he needed now was for a careless footstep to crush a critical line. And they were all critical. At least, until the ritual began. After that, well, the very nature of chaos was its unpredictability. He was building a beacon to lure a mighty predator of the warp. It couldn't break through into the material universe as such. But through the power of the great glyph, it could get enough of a hold on the bones of the planet to drag it under, like the blunt snout of a colossal ocean predator, breaching to engulf a boat and carry it down into abyssal waters. As things stood, Radomir could leave a slow burning lure, one that should give him enough time to abandon ship and leave everyone else to their fate. Should the glyph be damaged once the rite was started, it could spin out of his control. It might fail completely, it might doom Vorlisi far more quickly than he planned. Or something else altogether could happen. Meddling with the very fabric of reality was never without its risks. He moved with haste, tempered with caution, stepping between the individual sigils and never letting his eyes linger on their lines for too long, lest his conscious mind be seduced and drawn out of him. Radomir knew well the power of the tools he wielded. That was why he took such care. He placed one of the stolen eyes at each of the 8 apex points, muttering 8 consecutive charms as he did so. Then, holding each point separate in his mind as a glowing, writhing sphere of power, he walked to the center of the great glyph.
"Aelin," he ordered, beckoning, "bring him forth."
Aelin Marjuk stepped forwards, dragging a battered, bleeding man in dirt-stained garments that had once been the uniform of a medic, behind him across the unmarked ground that formed the central octagon of the design. Cormac, the man's name was, an unimaginative, unremarkable follower of the true gods, who'd lived a life of quiet blasphemy amidst the bustle of Ascension City, until Eichner had mobilized his followers. Cormac had lost his nerve, however. Perhaps he'd seen a little too much of the sigils. Or perhaps he'd always been craven and had found this purpose too great for his mind to comprehend. Regardless of the cause, he'd tried to flee. Feyny had clubbed him into unconsciousness with the butt of her shotgun, and Marjuk had stood guard over him since. Now Cormac would serve a grander purpose.
"Enlightenment cannot come without sacrifice,"
Radomir declared, as Marjuk pulled Cormac into a kneeling position and held the medic's arms behind his back. Cormac stared up at Radomir from beneath the ugly welt left on his forehead by Feyny's gun, but there wasn't a great deal of understanding in his eyes. Feyny had struck him quite hard, and Radomir wouldn't have been particularly surprised if Cormac couldn't remember what day it was.
"You have all worked hard," Radomir continued. "You have all showed your devotion. Now the path to enlightenment will be opened by the blood of one who did not share your steadfastness."
He took hold of Cormac's tunic and ripped it open to reveal the man's chest, then ignited his power blade. Now Cormac's eyes registered panic, but Marjuk held him fast as he groggily attempted to struggle. Radomir made 4 cuts, swift and true, carving the 8-pointed star into Cormac's flesh. The man screamed into the respirator that he'd been allowed to keep so that he might stay alive long enough to fulfill this purpose. Blood ran down over the curve of his stomach. Much of it began to soak into the waistband of his lower garments, but a few drops fell to the dusty ground. All around them, the sigils of the great glyph ignited into witchlight. On Cormac's chest, the center of the wound Radomir had inflicted began to emit an answering glow, which spread along the arms of the star and then began to crawl outwards across the rest of his body. Writhing tongues of corpusant that burned without consuming the flesh. Aelin Marjuk released Cormac before the glow reached where his hands had gripped the man's arms. But the medic did not slump forwards. Instead, he began to rise into the air, his eyes bulging and his mouth open in a scream that was not sounding in the same reality as his body. Radomir closed his eyes, tilted his head back, and began to recite his incantation. He'd learnt it by rote from the Grimoire of Tarodark, the pages of which were formed from the skins of 88 warriors slain by treachery. And he had been the first of 72 masters in 3 centuries not to die in the attempt. As he spoke the words of power, he braided the glowing spheres of the stolen warp eyes into the tapestry he wove in his mind, anchoring it in Cormac's body, and simultaneously reaching out into the immaterium. The long-forgotten bioalchemy that had twisted genetics to create the Navigator race millennia ago, in order to enable humanity to transcend the boundaries of their solar system and spread out across the stars, was now wrenched into the service of the great powers. He set his lure, a pulsing speck of light in the fathomless Empyrean. Soon, hopefully not too soon, the tortured writhing of Cormac's trapped, immolated soul and the ghost-like promise of billions more would prove irresistible to one of the warp's mighty predators. They would take the bait, and Vorlisi would cease to exist. By which time, Radomir intended to be on a ship and well out of reach of the entity he had summoned. But he needed to ensure that the rite was completed properly, or else all this effort would come to nothing. And so the words continued to drip from his lips as he secured the sigils, bound them together with tendrils of his will, and sent their power spearing down into the bedrock. It was not a process that came without cost, and Radomir felt it siphoning off his life force as soon as he began, like the cold, sharp jaws of ocean predators closing on him. This was going to be harder than before. He could tell that much instantly. Gallimo had left him weak. Vorlisi? He looked down at his hands. The bones were standing out more starkly than before, the flesh around them beginning to sag and wrinkle, as his very being was devoured. He might not recover from this. Not fully. Perhaps with the rejuvenate treatment, he could regain strength enough to perform the ritual just once more. But he could feel the damage in his very soul, not just its physical shell.
For the Emperor!
Radomir's eyes snapped open, and he found himself staring into the equally shocked face of Aelin Marjuk. Both of them had uttered that phrase before, under radically different circumstances, and neither of them had expected to hear it here and now. For the first time, in many, many years, fear reached into Radomir Niklaus' chest and gripped his heart. Feyni's shotgun rang out and was answered by the spitting roar of a hellgun. Radomir turned, fighting to keep the structure of his incantation whole in his head, and saw the huge shape of Svet charging forwards, his massive fists raised. A moment later, there was a soundless detonation that made Radomir's ears pop and rippled the smog, and Svet was sent flying back the way he'd come. The telekinetic. It had to be the telekinetic who'd been with the Brabantis Navigator. Which meant that a small group of trained, dedicated warriors loyal to the Emperor had found Radomir's work. Whether they had managed this by accident or design was immaterial. They clearly now knew that there was something here that they had to stop. They were still badly outnumbered by the Children of the Serpent, despite the deaths the cult had incurred in carving the great glyph into the ground. But numbers weren't everything. Aelin Marjuk snarled and snatched his las pistol out of its holster, then turned to run towards the invaders, picking his way through the glowing sigils with the expertise of a man who was no longer just a man. There was something else behind Marjuk's eyes now, and it could see on a different wavelength to mere mortals. Radomir had no doubt of that. He also doubted that it would be enough, whatever it was. Radomir could have helped to turn the tide, perhaps. Alone, he wouldn't have fancied his chances. As part of the Children, stepping in and out of the darkness while his enemies were busy with other attackers, he might have wreaked havoc. He could certainly have thinned their numbers out, perhaps to the point where the remnants of the Children could have simply overwhelmed these followers of the Corpse Emperor. Except he couldn't, while the rite was unfinished. It could fizzle and die like one of the cheap fireworks that had been going off in the sky above them all evening. Vorlisi had to fall, to strike a new psychological blow at the Imperium and tax its already strained infrastructure to breaking point. Let them see how vulnerable they were, even this close to their beloved throne world. Let them learn that the threat of chaos was not always as obvious as the Despoiler and his power-armored minions. Let them never know safety again. Radomir crouched down, dug his fingers into the blood-stained dirt, and poured all the power and fury of his spirit into the renewed incantation. He would not fail. No matter the cost, He would not fail. The aching hollow in his chest expanded as the ritual sucked greedily at his soul. But he was ready to die, and his soul was already commended to the true gods. If being drained to a husk in the smog-stained dirt of this planet was the price for his succession, then he would consider it a fair trade. Besides, if escape was impossible, then there was no reason to draw the predators in slowly.